is the Different Football Show. Are you serious? On FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, we're welcome back to the show. It's VA Are You Serious, brought to you by myself, Cecil G, and of course, Kim Kafari, brought to you on FUBAR Radio as well. And we are in World Cup motion, World Cup spirit, World Cup fever. Last night was the England game, so there's going to be a few tired voices, a few headaches, I'm sure, a few ringing in the ear, which I've still kind of got from last night's celebrations. But we'll get into all of that, of course, in today's show. Kim is obviously still away in the US, which begrudgingly I say that because there's a little bit in my heart and in my soul that says, oh, I wish I was still there. But I'm back home in the UK in my studio. But Kim is still out there in New York. And I'll be honest, today I want to kind of hear what it's like. Because obviously, I think before, had you arrived in New York, had you, Kim, before?
No. I don't even think England had played last time, had they? No, they hadn't.
No, they hadn't. So this is going to be, it's going to be a nice catch-up of kind of his experience. And obviously, I left New York during the England game, funny enough. The boring Ghana game, which I was going to pay £1,300 for and miss my flight and book another flight the next day. So now we can obviously discuss that as well. We will briefly discuss that though, because the Ghana game is kind of in the past now. We're now kind of looking ahead to DR Congo and also looking ahead of, or we're looking back, sorry, to yesterday's game. But let's catch up. I mean, I'll give you just my account. So I landed back in the UK. I'll be real. I've done a few extra little deals, brand deals. I had to watch some games at silly o'clock. The day I got back, actually, I had to do the 11 PM kickoff between Brazil and Scotland, which was actually a really fun game to watch, actually, if I'm being honest. Obviously, saw Vinny get a couple goals, dance and all that. But I was knackered. I was jet-lagged to hell. I landed back and went to Toy Story 5. Literally, I landed at about, 7 AM in Heathrow. The film was at 10 AM. In my local area, and I had my little one and my partner. I fell asleep, but even though I said, book it, I'll be awake. We'll have a nice moment back with my little family. I went, as soon as I got in that cinema, I went straight to sleep, which is not good. I don't advise any men in relationships. You know, you missed your partner for a while because you've been away from work and you go there and you just fall asleep the whole time. But I did that, and then had to build this studio and then did the watch along that night. But I will say, being back in the UK, World Cup fever's, it actually doesn't feel as much as I felt in America, which I get because they're hosting it and it's during the day and stuff. Here it's obviously like late games and I don't know, I don't feel the spirit as much. Obviously on England days you do feel it, but just the general vibe for the World Cup's kind of non-existent. I mean, staying up late is, apart from my jet lag keeping me up in the heat, like I'm not really locked into some of the games as much. I was watching every game in America. Now it's it's so shame. Much more tougher. Yeah, it's a shame that the spirit's not here, and also how hard it is to watch the games. Yeah, I'm watching highlights, but it doesn't feel the same. I actually enjoyed watching them live when I was in the States. So that's something I definitely want to highlight. Yeah, that's kind of like really it for the catch up. I was out yesterday as well watching a game, but we'll get into the game, I'm sure, a little bit further down when we speak about England, but. Yeah, it's good to be back though. I've missed a lot of people, but I do envy you being there. I need to know what's going on. Give me a catch up. Give me an insight to what you've made of New York so far. What's new? All of that. Let's go.
New York's mental, isn't it?
Facts.
Absolutely mental. And I came from like very suburban Boston and then arrived in New York at like Penn Street Station, which is like underneath Madison Square Garden.
Did you get a bit of heat from leaving Boston and saying like, I saw you do, I don't know if it was a tweet or a post, and there was got
3,000 comments or something. It went
so many. Your engagement on that is ridiculous. I think the engagement for people in the States has been mad for people from the UK, but go on.
Bro, like my following is not that big. It's like 6,000 now.
Yeah.
But my views since being in the World Cup over the last 2 days is like 770,000. Which is just crazy.
That is ridiculous.
Crazy. I feel like everyone wants to be here. That's why. But yeah, yeah. New York's absolutely amazing. Obviously saw Roxy as well, which is nice. She came out, so she's here for the last week.
Nice.
And then, not yesterday, day before yesterday, so it was the day before the England game, got invited to this event at Adidas, and it was absolutely insane. I'm editing a video on it now.
It everyone was there, crazy. No? There was like, I think yeah, I was speaking to Chloe Kelly, there, she went down there,
It was just nuts. Like every like 5 seconds you'd turn and like, oh, there's Paul Pogba. There's like Rodrigo you know, the one from Real Madrid, he's injured at the moment. X, Chloe Kelly, Russo,
Pink
Panthers were playing. It was absolutely insane. It was nuts. Like right underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. Did you go to that one, the Adidas?
I did. I didn't go in though. So you've had the privilege of going in. I didn't get to go into the Adidas fan park because you needed tickets. And when I was there, I went next to it. There were Portugal houses right next to it in the timeout market. So that's why you might have seen me. I interviewed some of the Portuguese ex-legends for their national teams. I spoke to them. And that's right next to the Adidas. So when we went though, remember, I don't know if you know, so I was supposed to go down to there. One, to go to the Adidas fan park, but also go to the ITV studios and get a tour there. But the rain, apologies for that, the rain was so bad. It was a storm that day that they closed the ITV studios and then for like anyone to come in. And then they also, the Adidas park was just kind of like pointless of going in because it's just everyone's just getting drinks. So I was like, okay, so they went into the timeout market, went to Portuguese house because it was inside and did a few interviews there. But I'm jealous. I didn't get to go to Adidas. And then Chloe Kelly, obviously, she flew in the day I was flying out, she flew in and she messaged me saying like, oh, I'm here. I said, have a good time. She said, yeah, I'm just going to be in New York for a bit. And then I saw that she was at the Adidas house. I'm kind of gutted. I didn't get a chance to see that. But yeah, but it was good though, yeah? I mean, you went on the day where...
It was amazing.
Yeah, I can imagine. You were on
it
day.
Was amazing. I can't believe how many people were there. And also, like, because we were in, like, the special bit, like, the little media bit, they were just literally just, like, walking behind you, like, right next to you. Crazy. And, like, I feel like with the work that we do, like, me and you, like, we're kind of accustomed to, like, meeting celebrities or meeting famous people. I do feel like seeing David Beckham from that close. Even though, like, I'm not a massive fan because I'm a City fan, but it was just, like, looking at him was just a bit mental. Like, being that close.
A bit of a flex. But that's a David Beckham, me and him. That's a signed England top. And he actually signed it for me. Sorry, I'm zooming right. Yeah, he signed, that's me. I met him at an event and he signed it for me there. But like, he's just such a gentleman. And his son, Brooklyn, is a really, it's Brooklyn, so yeah, the Arsenal fan, I'm sure is. Yeah, he's a really big fan. Like, he's a, Romeo, sorry, I'm going mad. Romeo Beckham's a big Arsenal fan. I spoke to him a few times. But yeah, you're right. Like, it's a bit, but David Beckham, I think he's a different level of, he's a different kettle of fish a little bit. I know, like you said, he's meet a lot of footballers. And
people of all time.
Yeah, I think we can both admit, like, yeah, you can't, when you see him, there's a certain aura where like, oh my God, that's David Beckham, by the way. That's kind of mad.
It was nuts. I was a bit like, even though I've been taught from my dad to hate the bloke because he played for United, I was just sort of looking at him. I was like, that is mental how we're this close to him.
I hear that.
But no, it's been really good. It's been really nice to have Rox here. And New York is just insane. It's just unbelievable, isn't it?
I saw you walk the, what's it called? The old railway line thing. I did, quality. I did that as well. The High Line. Then you see like the acorn shaped thing. It's mad. Like, there's so much thing. Yeah, Ground Zero's round there as well. Is it your first time in New York? Because that's kind of like the stuff.
No, I've been, but it's my first time as like a proper adult.
I remember when
I was like 18, but it was like on a family holiday, so you just sort of like do what everyone does, like the usual thing.
Yeah.
But this is my first time that I've been here and like working and like kind of like living, like just doing. We did so much walking. I think it was like 33,000 steps we could do a day, like 25 kilometers walking.
I hear that.
It's just insane. But you need to, bro, because the food is so good.
Yeah.
That you can't, I can't stop eating. I've had,
what have you eaten?
I don't know how many slices of pizza I've had.
Yeah, the pizza just are pizza. A joke. They're a joke.
They're just a joke. And I'm going to have more. I'm going to have more now because they're so good. I don't understand. Like, my mate just messaged me now. And we went to this place called Linda Street, which is like super famous on YouTube.
Yeah.
And my mate just texted me saying Linda Street is boss. I have no idea how they make a slice of pizza so well. I thought it was a hoax.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah. Yeah.
So did I. I thought, oh, it's one of those things that goes viral on TikTok. And like, but it's just a slice of pizza. Like, how good can a slice of pizza be? Then you put it in your mouth and it's like that ratatouille bit.
Yeah.
You know where he eats the cheese and the raspberry at the same time and it's like, he goes on that epic trip. It's like that. Yeah.
No, same. I just like, obviously, don't do drugs. I thought like the pizza had like cracking. I was like, the way it's so addictive. I kept having pizzas. Having so many pizzas.
And the streets just smell of pizzas. If I'm hungry, how do you expect me to not eat a pizza?
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
No, New York is phenomenal. And in World Cup spirit, like I spoke about it before, like the emotion, not even emotion, but like the people, the fever of it all across the whole of the city is incredible. So yeah. Like,
mate, do you know what's been amazing as well? What's been really special is like walking in the evening and like Uruguay playing, for example, and you walk past a Uruguayan restaurant and it's just packed,
yeah.
And everyone's in the shirts and the flags outside. Or like, where did we walk past? Or like we walked past an Argentinian restaurant yesterday. And there's just messy shirts that painted the walls. Like, I know that when that game's on, it's going to be absolutely amazing.
Right? Crazy. It'll be crazy. It'll be crazy.
Oh, I just love it so much. It's such a good gaff. I'm so sad to be coming home, especially when someone's...
When are you back? When are you coming back?
I'm back on Tuesday.
Oh.
I know.
You're going to have what I've got. You're going to have exactly what I've got. Bro, I can't lie. Like, my heart hurts. Like, because like I said, like in our brief, by the way, right? Like in our show brief, it just says like things we've seen in the World Cup. And I'm just like, when I was there, I saw so many things to talk about. Now it's like, it's a lot of negative stuff that I've seen, which I'm going to talk about in a bit, but like, there's a lot of negative stuff online that I've seen happen. But when you're there, you don't really get, I don't know, you're kind of not blocked out from like online, but like I'm there. So I don't need to look on my phone of what is really going on. You're seeing every day.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like you said, walking past the Uruguay and like restaurant, there's flags are out, people in shirts, you walk down like a street and you find a street of like a little communities of like fans of their nations, just little huddled together, or like mixed people coming together where there's fans from different nations coming together and having part, like those are the things you see it day in, day out. Now I'm seeing, like, I'm back online, I'm just seeing, oh, I'm seeing a load of rubbish. Like I'll speak about it now. Like, I saw like the angry Ginger, him, he was like reporting someone being racist, and then like he was getting a load of stick for it, which really annoyed me. But it's not even like, it's not even I'm going to focus in on that. I didn't realize that. Like, I know they say it's the land of the free and all that, but free speech is kind of like a given in America. Like, you don't really get done.
Yeah. Yeah. You can sort of just say what you want.
I think that was
poor stewarding. I do think you're supposed to get kicked out of stadiums for racism.
Yeah. It's actually football.
I can't believe he didn't. He wasn't even American, the bloke.
Yeah. That's
Eastern European or something. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say too much on that, but
yeah. Yeah, and he's a streamer. He's a streamer. Yeah, he's a streamer as well. Like, apparently he's a streamer as well. So I'm just like, well, he does content. So I'm just like, there's a standard in football where racism shouldn't be allowed. So that, like I said, when I come back here, like, I was online, I just seen those sort of things. I don't really know. That was, yeah, that's so bad. Obviously, I watched games and that, but like, that kind of was like, that's kind of dominating my feed. But like I said, you don't really see what.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. One thing I do want to speak about, because I went to the two Scotland games, and then I went to the England game yesterday. First of all, it's cost me about £2,100. I'll tell you actually quickly about what happened with the England game yesterday.
Go on.
So I bought, you know, when I went to the Dallas game,
yeah,
I bought a ticket through someone that me and you both work with, who I'll tell you off camera. So I bought it through him, who knows like a lot of these like tout people and stuff like that. So he's sort of the middleman anyway. So I bought that Dallas ticket from him. On the morning of, the guy messaged him saying, like, oh, like, my account's been banned. I can't transfer any tickets, blah, blah, blah. So he obviously felt really bad because me and him know each other. Like, we work together. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, I think I know it.
He obviously felt really bad that he'd let me down. So then yesterday, for the two tickets for New York, I also bought them through this guy. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting. It was about 3 hours before kickoff. And he just messaged me saying, he called me saying, yeah, the guy's fucking around. We don't have your two tickets. But because I don't want to let you down, I'm going to pay out of my own pocket for you to have two tickets. So he spent like over £2,000 on our tickets. And I said to him, I messaged him back. I was like, look, like, once I get paid, I'll try and sort you out, whatever. And he's not the type of guy to mess around with. And he was like, don't worry, I'm getting my money back. But the whole stress that I was in the taxi there, kept on refreshing my emails. He was like, yeah, he's saying he sent it, blah, 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 blah. Just didn't come through. And then, like, finally, these tickets come through, but they're bought through this website called Vivid Seats.
Yeah.
And me and Amy, who I went to the game with, Amy, you probably know as well from some shoots.
Yeah.
The Villa fan. We were just waiting. We were just waiting for the QR code to come through. And then it was like, the tickets have arrived, but they weren't now on the app. And then the second before the guy came around to scan them, they came up, and it was just like, bro, I felt every single emotion yesterday. It was so stressful. I will say, right, because I've obviously been to the Scotland games now and I've been to the England games. The Scotland games, I mean, fair enough, right? I think that once we get into the knockouts, probably more people will go out from England. I think because we expect to go into the knockouts, our proper fans probably have stayed at home, saved a bit of money for those games, I would imagine. And the Scotland fans obviously probably thought that they might not get out of the group, or they weren't going to get out of the group. So they all came in massive numbers for the group stages. But the atmosphere at the Scotland games with the Scotland fans was just so, so much better. And it wasn't the England fans' fault, but it was just so weird being in a football stadium supporting England. And we were right behind the goal where all the England fans were. And when I turned to celebrate, the guy that I was celebrating next to had a USA top on.
Yeah, weird.
From America. I was like, I've spent this money, I've spent £650 on a ticket, mainly because I have FOMO and I don't want to miss out.
Fair.
And mainly because I wanted to just experience watching England at a World Cup. But I was thinking, like, I'm pretty sure Box Park back at home would have had a better atmosphere.
That's a mad thing to say, but there's probably truth in it.
Like celebrating with people who don't even support the same team. And I know that's probably just what the World Cup's about, to be fair. Like, when I was sat for the Morocco game, well, I was sat next to Morocco fans, but that's fine. Like, you expect that at the World Cup.
Yeah, but in the Scotland games, did you not have like loads of different fans, or was it all? Because when I went to Qatar, Switzerland, like, there was loads of different nations in our. I mean, I don't think I was sitting direct. No, I was. I was kind of sitting in the Switzerland then. But there was loads of mixed fans, which again is a bit annoying. But I think the culture of America, even maybe the culture of World Cups, I don't know. That's my first major tournament I've been to. But like, is that the culture where there's just mixed fans? I don't think that's right. I think there should be an area for it. But I don't know. But maybe, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I'll be honest. If I was in an England game and that would annoy me a little bit. If I wanted to sell it,
annoy me a little bit. It did actually annoy me a bit.
Yeah, it probably would. I'll be honest.
It annoyed me a little bit, and I think the difference is both games I was sat directly behind the goals in the area where all of the supporters got tickets.
Yeah.
So like it was a better atmosphere than it would have been anywhere else in the ground. But just the fact that there were like a lot of Americans there, like Amy did a video, which is on her Instagram now, of like spotting club shirts. There's just like loads of people walking around, like Americans walking around in like United or Arsenal,
PSG and stuff. I've seen loads of PSG tops there.
And then none of our real fans can afford tickets. It was a bit like, don't get me wrong, I had a great day. I loved it. And I'm so glad I managed to watch England at the World Cup. But those sort of things, like, when tickets are so expensive and priced out real fans, I was just a bit like, that is a bit frustrating.
I hear that. I actually hear that, because we was walking around, Detroit, but also New York, and like, people are wearing England tops and we're like, hey, England. And they're like, from a whole nother country. But I was so baffled. But then Jack, my friend, really didn't like it. Jack, he's Leicester boy, but he was just like, I wear other teams, clubs, football tops when I'm abroad. But I'm like, yeah, but do you wear other nations' football tops? Like, unless you're in that nation. Are you in Argentina? Yeah, yeah. And to be fair,
And if I went to the Argentina game, I would definitely also wear an Argentina
top. Yeah. If I'm going to the game, that's different. That's what.
I'm just being grumpy. I don't want you to be wearing a USA top at the England game.
That's not on. That's just not on.
It doesn't really make sense for you to be getting on like that.
Stay
at home and give your ticket to someone who's actually going to support England. I'll be honest, that frustrated me. But I feel bad for being frustrated. Also, by the way, it didn't take that long to get out of that stadium at all.
The news in the past couple of days is like, it's impossible to get out and get back home.
It's really not impossible. Like, I filmed about 10 interviews, went to a bar, had one pint, and then got an Uber, and we were out of the stadium back into Central in probably half an hour.
Wow. Okay, that's against
the rules. There's a lot of chat online. Do you know what I will say? There's a lot of chat online about how crap this World Cup is, and about how Americans don't get it, and blah, 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 blah. And that is definitely from people who just aren't here.
Yeah, facts, because when you're there, it's definitely not that. The energy when you're there is great. It's actually great.
It's insane. When I'm walking around New York, there's like thousands of USA tops. Like, the bar that we eventually watched the USA game in, like, there were people like chanting in the bar.
What bar was it? Do you know what it's called? Legends Bar, was it called? Do you not know? Maybe
it wasn't called Legends Bar. It was called Long Acre Tavern.
Long Acre Tavern.
Wow, well, I really pulled that out of nowhere. Well,
that's great. Yeah, I could see you struggling at first, but that's good. Long Acre Tavern, that must be a... I don't know, I didn't see that.
5 minutes from Times Square. It was class. It was fun. Yeah. And you know, like I love this country, right? I have to be honest. I absolutely love America. But they are just hilarious to look at and watch.
No, they're no, the USA soccer fans are the best to watch. Bro, people will obviously, well, they might know, obviously, when I travel with CONCACAF, I have to work with the US men's national team and I have to do a lot of fan content at their games. There's one guy who's the lead, like, he's the lead fan of the US. I see him all the time. He's always topless. He has like a bandana around his head. He does the US. You'll actually find him. It's the main guy in all the basic videos when they're chanting. And I have to run around, and go to different fans. I stand there and just watch him. And I can't say I laugh, but it makes me smile. Just some of the way he jeers them, he tries to cheer up the crowd. And they do follow, but like, it's just really not this. It's so far removed from like a European, like, yeah, league, yeah, yeah, fan, or in the UK, like the Crystal Palace, or even like our little, we've got obviously Ashburton, but it's so far removed from that, he's actually doing the same thing, but
the best thing is, they don't quite say the right things. They're like so close. And even when they're analysing the game, even if they've got a really good point, the words that they use just aren't quite right. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? Sorry, a prime example of that is their song, they're like, we like it, we like it, we like it. Then that's the actual chant. Then right at the end they go, we love it. I'm like, why did you add the love? You don't add that bit. Like, we like it, because that's the way, we like it, we like it. Then they go, we love it. And I'm like, oh no, you're literally there. You know, that's a prime example of that. But listen, big them up. But it does tickle me. It does. You're right. It's fascinating to see. Right, let's go to a quick break, and then when we come back we'll look at best and worst moments of the group stages, and of course England at the World Cup straight after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
Oh, just all laughing from before the break. That has made me smile. I'm glad we all, and it's not even like, I know some people look at it as like they might be laughing at the year. We're not laughing at it. And there is some of that, but it's also like, it's good because the sport's actually growing massively in the US, and I hope it does. Right. I hope it keeps progressing. Like, I did a lot of work with USL, which is the league below the MLS, and they are really doing a big push to rival, obviously, the sport in Europe.
I want to be clear, I am laughing at them, but I'm laughing from a place of love.
Yeah. I'm glad. Yeah, because I try to say we're not laughing, but I am a little bit, but also...
I am laughing at them, and I find them hilarious. But it is from a place of like, is endearing.
It's endearing. It's endearing.
I don't find them annoying. I find them really, really cute.
Yeah. But do you know what? Just sorry. I know we need to get to the next section, but just on that, like that, I said this to them as well, to a lot of the US football fans I met. I was like, you guys have so many sports that are native to your country, the NFL, the NBA, like you've got so baseball, you've got so much. That's why I know football or soccer to them is not a big thing yet. It's growing, but it's obviously, you've got so much to watch and follow that football's not really like your passion, which I fully understand. So I'm not, yeah, like I said, I'm laughing at you, but you're growing the love of football, and I love to see it, but it's quite funny. But it's the same if we had NFL, which we do every now and then, they come to Tottenham Stadium and stuff and they play it. But like, if the way we support it, if you found that quite funny, I wouldn't take that offensive. I'd just be like, yeah, of course, it's you guys sport, and we're fans of it now, but we're it's growing here as well. But like,
oh, yeah, no, 100%. When people in the UK talk about NFL, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm like,
but when they're talking about like the quarterbacks and wide receivers and yardage and all this, like, it's not right. It's just not right. It doesn't sound right.
Facts. Had to mention that. Had to get it off my chest, because you're right. Like, I think it's so, unless you're from the States and you've moved to the UK and you follow it there, I get that. But if you're just like a Brit and you're proper into the NFL, I find it quite, I'd have a little giggle. But then I'd be like,
it's like Green Street with Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
It's not right.
All right, let's do best moment and worst moment of the group stages. I think I'll start with a best, but I think it's kind of really spoken about quite a bit. I think also the World Cup or the page, I want to say, I think it might be embargoed me using the full name of it, but like their Twitter page, they are really aware of, which I think is the best thing about this World Cup, the superstars are kind of just turning up, and I love to see it. Like, it's and it, I love it because I would have been one of those fans a little bit on the narrative of they're getting a bit too past it now. They're getting old. Listen, I love what they've done in their past. They are legends of the game. They're people that I'm so honoured that I get to watch and be a part of. I grew up in it in the era of the Messis, the Ronaldos, the... Well, that's what those are the main two. But obviously, there's a Mbappe in there, there's a Vinny in there, like there's Harry Kane maybe in a sense as well. So like, but they're actually turning up against like this new school football, systematic young players. They're like, no, we're still what we always have been. Don't try and push us aside. We, and no matter we're playing in Saudi, we're playing in the MLS. Don't think we can still do what we used to do against you. I love that fact. It's one 100%. Of the best. It is definitely for me the best thing about the World Cup. They are really still showing their worth at their age they are and their ability and quality, and just reminding people, no, we're not gone. We're still gonna. Last World Cup was my World Cup. Messi might think he's like, but why does that mean that this one can't be as well? Like, I find that so amazing. I find that so amazing. I know he was rested for. He's gonna be rested. Oh, he rested for the most recent game, but like. Before that, he was just turning up. Same with, like, you know, Ronaldo. There was doubts. Obviously, he missed a bit at the beginning, but he come back. He's obviously got his goals. And Mbappe is just turning up. So, for me, the best
thing. I also think that, like, there's a lot of chat all the time about, like, oh, like, you know, like, people who are, like, Pep Guardiola's ruined football. Football's just all about systems, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
It's not as good as it was. Like, nostalgia football was better in, like, 2006. International football is just as good as it always has been because it just relies on individuals.
Yeah.
And that's what I think England are lacking a little bit this tournament is that we're trying to play too systematically and we need to actually just give a bit more freedom. Like we'll move on to England in a bit, but you are right, like the superstar stuff, like Messi, how can he be that good?
I know.
He scored 6 goals in the group stages already.
Crazy.
Stop.
Like that, like how are you still doing this?
It's like everyone who everyone wanted to watch. Like if you're a fan of a certain player, like if you love Vinny Jr., he's turned up. If you love Mbappe, he's turned up. If you love Messi, he's turned up. Like Ronaldo turned up in that one game, to be fair. He hasn't been that great since. But yeah, everyone. Harry Kane scoring goals. Jude Bellingham has been on smoke. Like, it's been class.
I feel bad for the Norway fans that went to their last game. Obviously, Haaland wasn't playing. I know the guy didn't come on. They just rested their players, which I think was a bit of a... I feel bad for those fans that obviously might have paid a load of money, probably a lot of money to see. That is ridiculous. That would wind me up. Listen, I'm a friend of his, so I don't want to say it too harshly. But Rory Jennings, obviously, he bet £5,000 that Ronaldo wouldn't score in the tournament. Do you know how mental that is? And he actually transferred it though, so I'll give him credit. He's made a bet saying it's all hype around Ronaldo, you know, and the whole trying to catch Messi, Ronaldo win the World Cup, and he said no way he's gonna flop, he's not even gonna score a goal, by the way. It's crazy to say.
£5,000
and he said he gave it to charity.
I love Rory because he just says nonsense things but then does actually end up believing them, and sometimes he is right, which is class.
Yeah. When you go that double down, when you double down that hard, I got to respect it in some sense because like, it could never be me. Like £5,000 is a lot of money.
£5,000 is insane. £5,000 are not betting someone who scores every single game to not score a goal is just a mental bet. That is a mental bet.
See,
it's just stupid.
I got to give him credit for sending it over, donating it to chat. I got and he sent off the screenshots and that. I got to respect it because like you said, when it's for a like, I hear. I actually, do you know what it is? I partly understand the thought process, but to go, he won't score a goal at all is crazy. And then to double down and put £5,000 on top of that, like mad. If it was 500, cool. I'd be like, yeah, that's
starting. it's silly work.
Crazy. I just got a notification. Arsenal midfielder expected to be available for the England World Cup round of 32. That's Rice. Declan Rice, they're talking about their interest in. So we'll see how that plays out. That's just come through on my notifications. But let's go to the worst quickly. The worst moment. We won't spend too long. I mean,
worst moment. I mean, that thing with Ginger is pretty horrible.
That's bad.
I think everything that Iran have had to go through with their players and the fans and everything like that, for them to not get through on a VAR decision from a 94th minute winner, which was a really dodgy VAR, is pretty horrible.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
Yeah, the Iran stuff, the Ginge stuff. And I was just going to say ticket prices, but then again, like, it's harsh because, like, again, people are paying for them. But for, like you said, I don't want to do the whole actual fan thing, but that is kind of the truth around the matter. Like, I would have loved to have gone to an in-game, but I've paid a lot of money for tickets in my past. I really have, but I just thought £1,300. And it, to be fair, it would have been for that Ghana game, so it probably was a blessing in disguise. But, like, I don't know, the prices are crazy. And it's always been, it's been spoken about across the whole of World Cup. But, like, someone in America did tell me, like, they're going to look at this World Cup and say, look how much money we made. We've got to get it back here as soon as possible because people are paying it. They have all these people coming, flying in, and we're in one concentrated place. We have stadiums that are sizes that are bigger than any other country. They're going to make so much money. These hydration advertisement breaks, all this stuff. It was raining in the last game. They're still doing hydration breaks. Like, it's just...
This World Cup will have made them so much money. Like, probably 10 times more than any other World Cup.
100%. 1,000,000%. That's a fact. I found out that Fox... you're in New York. In Times Square, they've got a watch along. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a box. It's a big living room in the middle of Times Square. It's just if you go to Times Square, you just go backwards a little bit, you'll see it. It's branded to hell. They've hired two guys. They're paying £50,000, I think, or dollars each. They put it up on Indeed to just watch the games inside this box in Times Square. There's like security around it. I don't know how they go toilet, but they're literally just being paid to watch every game, every day of the World Cup. And they just sat in there. But
is there a better job than that? Is that the best job of all time?
That's what I'm trying to work out. Like, you're getting paid that much money. People are taking photos and like videos of them because like, people are so fascinated by it. But you're getting, and apparently like they paid a lot of money to have the activation done because it's in the middle of Times Square and like it's got branding all around it. So like apparently they paid so much to get it done. But I'm like, that money's probably being made back. And all it is really, it's not even, you're just promoting that it's on Fox, I guess. Or like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But to be fair, Fox will be making all the money from the hydration breaks and all the adverts.
Yeah.
And their lineup is nuts.
It's crazy. Their lineup is
nuts. Best reporters and commentators and ex-footballers.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's been good. It is good. Yeah, that's probably okay. So we've got best and worst moments. That's quite like locked in now, I'll give you that. England at the World Cup, Kim. Let's discuss. I mean, it's just like back and forth. I have my friends, obviously I'm back with my mates now, so they were just like, why can't we just attack and just be like, just do what the superstars, basically what the other superstars are doing. They're just taking control of games and then we can relax and play on it. But I'm also like, well, we are doing okay. The Ghana game was a bit of an anomaly, but I also think we have a bit of a hard group, if I'm honest. Not a crazy hard group. I think the teams aren't terrible. I know you're putting that face to say, Ghana's not an easy...
I think there has been very, very little change from Southgate to Tuchel. Very little change. In the last 180 minutes, how many shots have we had? Not that many.
Yeah, not many at all.
The criticism that was laid at Southgate's door is kind of exactly the same here. Like, if you go to a World Cup not picking players who can unlock a defence, or you don't practice how to break down a low block, that is poor management.
That's fair. The low block stuff's fair because... We are England and people are going to always defend against us. We always seem to struggle against the low block. And some of the players you've picked players that
Gibbs White, good. Palmer's, Foden. Like they might be off form. I mean, Gibbs White.
Trent. I think Trent's more the one. I'm like, Trent. What the hell? Because he can put a ball into a box that Harry Kane could easily get a nick a goal from. But you've set to go with Gordon, who's an in behind runner, where teams aren't going to give you. They're just going to sit back, so you're not going to have that space. Yeah. Not to say these players are bad. Nonny's kind of the same as well. Like, they're in behind runners and they played okay. I'm not going to complain. Same with Marcus Rashford. But, like, some of the players... I don't know about Foden and Cole Palmer because they've been so off form. And like, my friends are Chelsea fans. They said Cole Palmer hasn't been able to break down low blocks when Chelsea played for all of this season. But Trent is definitely a player that can sit into the midfield, add to that midfield in a congested one, but then also whip a ball onto a sixpence, which is kind of... We haven't really, really been doing too much. I mean, it's been corners. And again, Trent probably would have been maybe a pick to put a ball into a box. So I know it's been the Arsenal boys doing that, but that's just one.
I think we're going to beat Dr. Congo, aren't we? Let's be honest. We'll beat them soon.
Dr. Congo's class. Actually, I'm honest.
We'll beat them comfortably. Have you not seen that video?
No.
It's one of the funniest videos in the world. It's like this, just before the World Cup, some guy was interviewing this woman, like, do you know that these teams are in the World Cup or something? And she was like, Dr. Congo, who's Dr. Congo? I remember that so much. But let's be honest, like, we'll beat them because they're not that great. But then in the round of, what will that be? The round of 32? 16? Yeah, the round of
16. 32 will be Dr. Congo. I want to start calling them that now.
And then it'll be the round of 16 against Mexico in Mexico City.
We are
encounter us. We're cooked.
Yeah, we're cooked. In Mexico is going to be mad. I really want to fly to that game. I think the DR Sports lot are all there as well. They're all going to Mexico tomorrow. I think they're flying tomorrow. Damn. Oh, and I could have went. I actually could. Robbie did arts like half. He did kind of half arts. But I just said, sorry to this is where I'm going off on a tangent. But yeah, I could have been in that. I could be in that Mexico game. But I was just like, I need to be back for a bit. But now I'm thinking, do I just go out there? I need to spend some time here.
But if we make it, just go.
Yeah, if we make it into, so it would be 16 quarters, semis, finals. Mexico's going to be tough though.
That is how tournaments work.
I'm breaking it down. There's more nations.
Analysis there.
Yeah, sorry. There's more nations. I'm just making sure. Listen, if you know, you might not know the pathway. Like Dr. Congo lady, she, you know what I mean? I'm just giving the full breakdown. But it's interesting because it'll be so bad, catastrophic, I actually think, for England fans if we lose to Mexico. Even though it is actually tough circumstances being in Mexico playing them. But like because of Gareth Southgate and what he's achieved with Arsenal, with England, even though he obviously didn't win anything of major significance, he didn't win anything at all, but like he got deep into competitions. Tuchel will be heavily scrutinised, even if he loses to Mexico in Mexico, because you're not getting knocked out of the round of 16, which I think may be justified. 100%.
No, I think it's just an incredibly difficult game. Mexico in Mexico City is just really difficult. And then it looks like it'll be probably Brazil in the quarterfinal and probably Argentina in the semi-final.
Wow.
And probably one of France or Spain in the final. The thing is, though, I think we could beat Brazil. And I think we could beat Argentina. I'm more nervous about the Mexico game.
Whoa, Kim. They're big statements, my friend.
Really? Do you not think they're...
Brazil, maybe, but Argentina, I don't know. I think they haven't got, like... When you run through their names, they're not, like, amazing names. But as a team, like, I've watched Argentina a lot. Obviously went on top. I was there when they won it last year. Like, I think as a nation, the fluidity and how they play, I just think that is... and as a... They're quite a big, good team cohesion. I know... Some would say maybe we are, but I don't know. I still think there's frailties. I watched that England game, we all did, the Panama game. And like, even though we're good, there's frailties in the attack. We can get countered quite easily. So, exactly. Messi can do anything.
So if he's on form. I also think that with the Trent thing, Reece James is so obviously injury prone. He was so obviously going to get injured at this World Cup. Please bring a spare right back.
Yeah.
We can't go into a World Cup game with Jarrell Kwanzaa at right back.
That would be a nightmare. Sorry, excuse, that's so rude for me to say because he's a great player, but he's not a right back in my books. And like when he had Trent there, that could have been there. I mean, Ben White could have even been there. I mean, I know he's back training. I know he had a bit of an injury on the back end of the season, but he's now training. Like you can't put someone out of position that you can't really trust in a tournament where it's quite a lot of there's more stages, it's more scrutiny, it's more stress and pressure. You kind of need backups everywhere. Good point. Right, we've done the England talk, but there's going to be more England talk after this because we're going to do some predictions of what's to come straight after this.
VAR, you serious? With Cecil G. Thomas.
Kim, I'll be honest, I haven't got all the nation's games and fixtures up for the knockouts, but I know you're the producer. So I'm assuming... As a great producer that you are, you've got the games and everything lined up. So you can help me predict and help us predict.
Let's run through them.
Yeah.
So by the time this goes out, I think two of these games will have already been. So we will know. Oh, no, only one of them, actually. So the game today, as our time of recording,
South Africa
against Canada.
Cool.
I think that South Africa in that first game was the shittest World Cup team I've ever seen in my entire life. I can't actually believe that they're somehow in the round of 32. It's embarrassing how bad they were in that game.
Yeah, they would be great. I mean, I think Canada do win that. Listen, I mean, Canada, again, I feel for them. Obviously, I keep saying Ishmael Kone got his obviously leg broken. I've worked with a really nice guy and it's such a shame. A really good player. Really good. He got a really nice send-off from his fans. But I think Canada have actually been all right. I mean, They haven't been. Do you know what? I've seen them be better though, because I've worked with them for so many years. I've seen them be better than what they're showing. So maybe we see that in a round of 32. But if that's the case, they I think after watching, like, I saw South Africa play one against, I said, yeesh. Yeah, I'm going Canada.
I think Canada win that 18-0.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 Canada. 18-0.
Brazil, Japan, that is such a good game.
Oh, that's going to be interesting. That could be a shock. It could be a shock one. But I don't know.
Are they, by the way, actually, can I say, maybe I have to cut this out if you deem it to be racist. Is Brazil versus Japan the most culturally different game ever? Like, when you actually think of Brazilians and like, think of Japanese,
they're so far away from each other.
They look so different. The food is so different. The like the culture of like being expressive, I feel like, is different. Good game.
I agree. I mean, I it's weird because in Jamaica there's a lot of Japanese people and Chinese people. So I'm like, they not that they get around, because I think there's a lot of nations that spread around the world. But like, I've been to Brazil. I didn't see any Japanese people, but there might be some in some areas, maybe. But if they're you're right. I think from what I've seen, I haven't seen that.
I'm so wrong. There's a massive community of Japanese people in Sao Paulo, and there's a massive Brazilian community in Japan as well. There you go.
They're not
wild apart. Japanese and Brazilian friends.
Yeah, it's the same with Jamaica. Who wins that? I'm trying to think. Well, it's tight. That could be a shock. It's a 2-1 game. I just don't know which way.
I think that could go down to penalties, you know. It's basically like well-organised against vibes, isn't it? No, Brazil. But I don't think Japan... I don't mean culturally. I mean in football in terms of that.
I know you mean in football, but it's quite an accurate description.
But if the shoe fits... I think Brazil will win that.
Okay. I'm going to go 2-1... I got to go Brazil because my Arsenal boys are there. I can't let them go out in the round of 32.
I think 2-2, but Brazil win on penalties.
Okay,
go on. How many goals are Germany going to beat Paraguay by?
Oh, Lord. 4-1. 4-0. 4-1.
It's going to be a bloodbath, that one, for sure.
Yeah, 4-1.
This is a tasty fixture. This is a good game, this.
Who is it?
Netherlands Morocco. What a game.
Ooh!
That might be the best. That might be the best game ever.
Oh, I can't call that one. I've got a lot of love for the Netherlands players, though. But Morocco just—they got so far in the last tournament as well.
They're so. Oh my god, that's such a good game.
That's a penalties game. That's more a penalties game. I just don't know who wins. Can I just say penalties and then?
Yeah, you can say penalties. I think the Dutch will win that. Oh, another cracker coming up. How can people not be excited for the World Cup? It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, the hardest to watch it live, Kim, here. And wait till you come to the UK, bro. Wait till you come back. It's hard.
It's on 5 a.m. Ivory Coast against Norway has to get a scene to. Everyone has to be watching that game.
That's vibes. That's actually vibes as well. The Ivorians and the Norwegians is going to be like, that's going to be mad.
So much dancing, so much rowing. It's going to be
rowing and dancing. I can't really pick that. Let's try and move fast through these, Cecil. Come on. Norway win. But
yeah.
Norway
win. 3-1 to Norway.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3-1 as well. Norway win 3-1. Good game, though.
Sweden. Won't be that easy, but France will win.
But it's tough. Yeah. It's a 2-0, but it's a late 2-1, but it's 2-0. No, that doesn't make sense. It goes into extra time.
Sweden score a late goal.
Yeah.
Mexico against Ecuador. That's a vibey game, isn't it?
Oh, that is going to be passionate. Oh, that's going to I would love to. Where is that being played? Can you see or not? Sorry, that's really annoying of me to ask that question.
At Mexico City. There's no way there's not at least a little bit of scrapping.
You know what? I was walking that path into that conversation, but I didn't know really how I was going to say it. But like, there's some heat there. There is some wild, wild scenes of that game. I'll promise you. I've seen Ecuadorian fans through CONCACAF. I've seen Mexico. Listen, that is a passionate fiery game.
It's a fiery game. But Mexico will win, won't they?
Yeah, Mexico win, but because in Mexico, they get to have half of the home advantage. But 3-2, why not? It's 2-2 for a lot of it.
Yeah, there's going to be loads of goals in that. I think 4-3 I'm going to go for.
Yeah, nice, nice.
England against Dr. Congo is obviously going to be 2-0. There's no way it's not. It's anything but 2-0.
Yeah, it's 2-0. It's 2-0. It's 2-0.
It's 2-0, isn't it? Maybe 2-1, but it's
almost... Yeah, I was going to say, because we can be thrown... But yeah, they could sneak a goal, but I'm going 2-0.
Oh, there's another cracker coming up here. This is heritage. Belgium against Senegal.
Oh,
whoa.
Senegal. It's Senegal, you know. It's Senegal. They're winning that. It sounds awful.
I think they'll win them.
Yeah. What time? I need to know what time they are on the UK. I've got to watch these games.
That's at 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. That's a good time. That'll be after.
Okay, I can watch them. Okay.
USA against Bosnia and Herzegovina. Oh, God, we've got so many, right? Let's rattle through these. USA versus Bosnia.
USA win. Let's just go wherever. It's
tight. Spain versus Austria.
Spain 3-1. Maybe 3-0.
I think 3-1.
Okay.
Portugal, Croatia.
That's sticky a good game one. Well. Sticky one. That. That's an even game. So 1-0s either way. But I'm going to lead with Portugal. But 1-0 either way.
Yeah, I actually think Croatia might win that game.
Okay.
Switzerland, Algeria.
Oh.
That can I say? We've been talking about good games. That is a shit game. Anytime Switzerland are on, I just refuse to watch it.
Yeah, I mean, like that
kid, they are so boring.
I can't, it's hard for me to say that, because it's the truth. I went to Switzerland, Qatar, and it was like mind numbing. Even though Qatar scored last minute in the added time in after the 90, the whole game was just so dry. Anyway,
remember the Switzerland game a few World Cups ago where like Jordan Shaqiri scored like a bicycle kick and they won 4-2.
He's known for banging.
I was bored during that. There's just something about Switzerland that bores me. So that'll be like 1-0, I think.
All right, yep. I'll go with that. Next one.
Oh, Australia against Egypt. That's a tight game.
That stinks, that match though. I mean, Salah, I suppose, is holding it down, but to me, that stinks to watch. I might miss that one, I reckon, but Egypt win. Just 2-1.
I think Australia will win. How many goals are Argentina going to beat Cape Verde by? Maybe not that many.
Is that the game? Is that their round of 32 game?
Yeah, against Messi.
Wow. Okay. Do they overlook them and get a bit of a shock? Not lose, but get stung? Or do they...
concede first. Cape Verde score first, 100%.
That would be mad. All right, 3-1.
I was going for 4-1.
Yeah, 3-4.
Another good game. Colombia against Ghana.
Oh, that's a good one. Vibes. That would be a nice little blend of cultures. It depends where it's being played. There's a lot of Colombians in New York and also in Mexico, but...
In Kansas City.
Yeah, maybe Ghana might actually be able to like have a lot of the attendance of fans there. I'm gonna go Ghana. It could go either way. I'm gonna go penalties. Why not? 1-1, then penalties, and then Ghana win it.
I think penalties is a good shout. Let's agree on that.
Agree. Good way to end our predictions. But yeah, that's our predictions for obviously the remaining games of the World Cup in the qualifying rounds, around of 32. That is the full show for you all today as well. Myself, Cecil G, and Kim Kafari on VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. It's been a great show. Kim, I can't wait for you to return, even though you're going to have the same feeling I have, but we'll be back in the studio together, I'm sure, next Monday. So stay tuned for that, people, and thank you for listening. We'll see you again soon. Love.
VAR You Serious with Cecil G. Thomas.